give Him praise in the house. Let's give Him glory. Let's invite His presence, His power, His anointing. Whatever He wants to do on the very first night of this revival meeting tonight. Hallelujah! We might as well pull out all the stops and have church and let God have His way. Hallelujah! He can do anything. He has all power. He has all ability. He knows where we are at. Amen. This revival is designed and tailor-made for your need. Amen. If you believe the Word of God, anything is possible. When we turn the lights out on Sunday night, anything is possible. God can accomplish anything if you've come with a heart that is ready. If you have come with faith in your heart and expectancy, there is no limit to the power of God and what He can do in our lives. Amen. I want to give honor to your great pastor and his wonderful wife and their family, Brother and Sister Grissom. Let's give them a hand tonight. God bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to thank Brother Grissom again for the opportunity to be in Athens. I will forever remember several years ago. I think it's been about 3 years ago now since last time I was here, how God moved in that revival meeting. I remember all the people that received the Holy Ghost, and I believe that it's going to be no exception in this revival. There has been prayer. There has been fasting. You have prepared yourself spiritually. Now just expect and receive and believe the Word of God and what He's going to do in this place. Amen. I've always loved Brother Grisham and Sister Grisham, wonderful people of God. They are doing a great work. They have done a great work. They are doing a great work in the city of Athens. Your pastor is a man of principle, a man of conviction, a man that you can trust. And I am very honored and humbled to be able to be here tonight. It's good to see my friend from high school, Jared Cheshire. Amen. And a lifelong friend. And you meet some people in life and they say that they're your friends, but you don't see them for many years, and when you're in your hour of greatest need, they're nowhere to be found. But that's not the case with Brother Jared Cheshire. He's a great person. He's a hard worker, great Christian, and this church is blessed to have the Cheshires. God bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. And once again, I do apologize. You may be seated for my sweet wife. And my three boys, Curly, Larry, and Mo. I figured that it would be okay for not being able to make it. Really, their names are Daniel, Evan, and Liam. But my son just had surgery yesterday, my little two-year-old. He had a cyst on his eye and also a lymph node in his neck. But he came through the surgery just fine, and he is okay. And we thank the Lord for that, and we want to thank this church for your prayers for Evan Christopher, and he made it through just fine. Very quickly, I do want to mention that we do have a table outside, a display. That'll be up for the remainder of the revival meeting. And we have several items. We have several preaching CDs. And then also a music CD of my wife. And then also several hair things for ladies. I don't recommend the men buying any hair things unless you're buying them for your wife or your sweetheart or your fiance or anything of that nature. It just, hair bows and men don't go over too good. Amen. And everybody said amen. And so, and then there's also some bow ties out there. And then there's some other things that my wife has prepared. And we are full-time evangelists. We do derive our livelihood from the field, preaching meetings, revivals, and services, and et cetera. And so we want to let you know that if you want to be a blessing to our ministry by purchasing some of our things, it will be available there will be someone to wait on you. Very important. We are out of some of my CDs that I preach on the subject of grief and overcoming the death of my father. I have three different messages. One on it's time to switch cups. Another one on the subject of somewhere over the rainbow, and then from suffering to salvation. We have sold out of all of those, and so I wanted to promote that tonight. If you know anyone that is going through a severe trial, they've buried a loved one, or they are facing just a very critical time in their life, we are taking orders for those CDs. If you will be so kind to pay for them up front and leave your name and your address, and I will get that in the mail to you just as soon as I get back home. And my wife has a CD. You will definitely want to pick that up. She's very anointed and a very talented musician and singer, and she blesses people everywhere she goes. There's also a CD of my father, the late Brother Daniel Calk. He was a man of great character, of great conviction. He was a man beyond his years. Cancer took his life at 41 years of age. He preached a message in the year 1990 on the subject of two different worlds. He talked about the temporal world and the eternal world. He was very sick in his body that night. I mean, his bones were literally breaking from the cancer that he had. But God anointed him in a special way. There were several cases of healing that night. People are still talking about that message some 20 years later. It's a two-part CD for $5 a piece. There's another CD of my grandfather, Brother Kilgore, great man of God, former district superintendent of the Texas district, someone that I am proud to call my pastor. And he is someone who has had a vision for worldwide revival and worldwide missions for many years, official in our organization for many years. He has a message that you will definitely want to pick up for $5 a piece. There's also another one of my great-grandfather, Brother C.P. Kilgore, great pioneering preacher of the gospel, who held many brush arbors in this area, including one in downtown Dallas. He held a tent meeting in downtown Dallas in the early 1900s. Many came to the Lord and were filled with the Holy Ghost in that tent meeting. And so that one's also $5. And then there's one of my mother and my grandmother, my late grandmother, Sister Kilgore. And I wanted to make that promotion tonight, it being the first night, and then we will make one more good promotion on Sunday night. Amen. Why don't we go ahead and stand for the reading of the Word? I come to you tonight knowing that I have heard from the Lord, and knowing that God has a purpose for this meeting. There's a difference between a revival meeting and a meeting of destiny and purpose. God wants this meeting to be a meeting of purpose. He wants to take us to a place that we have never been in the Spirit before. Amen? And I truly believe with all of my heart that if someone would open up not only your ears, but your hearts to what the Spirit is saying to the church, God is fixing to do some things in this church and in your lives like you've never seen and like you've never known before. Amen. I believe that anything is possible to them that believe. So with that being said, I am reading from the book of 1 John, chapter 3 and verse 8. The Scripture says, "He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose," listen to the very end of this verse, "for this purpose the Son of God was manifested," speaking of Jesus Christ, "that he might destroy the works of the devil. Amen. So let me ask us a question at the very beginning of this meeting. Do we want to just shout for the next 48 to 72 hours? For the next four nights, do we just want to shout and run the aisles? Or do we want God to change us? Amen. This is a revival of change. This is a revival of revolution. This is a revival of a new start. This is a revival of going to a new level in our lives that we've never been before. I believe that God wants to fill people with the Holy Ghost in this revival. But if you don't mind my saying, I'm tired of just traditional services. I want the supernatural. I want miracles. I want signs. I want wonders. I want somebody to leave this place knowing that God did a sovereign work in their lives. And so on this very first night, I want to minister from this subject, God's ultimate mission. God's ultimate mission. Father, anoint your word in the name of Jesus. I take authority and dominion over anything and everything that would oppose your will and your purpose and your plan here tonight. I pray for a fresh anointing to rest upon my life and my ministry and minister to hearts and lives that are in this place, and we will give you glory. You see the sacrifice. You see the spiritual sowing and reaping that has preceded this meeting. Now I'm asking you to answer. I'm asking you to reward the faith of those that have sacrificed, not only for this service, these services, but for your kingdom. And we will give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. When we look at the work of Satan and his sinful nature, it is shown through the lives of those who he has ownership of, who belong to him. The purpose and mission of Jesus Christ coming into the world in the first place was to destroy, to disable, to dismantle the works of the devil. Notice, a person who sins, even a believer, even somebody that has repented of their sins, they've been baptized in Jesus' name, they have been filled with the Holy Ghost. It is possible to have the Holy Ghost speaking in other tongues, but still be a slave to sin. Maybe not the typical message that you want to hear on the first night of a revival. But there comes a point and there comes a time that we've got to be honest with the Lord. We talk about deliverance, and there are people in our meetings. They leave shouting and dancing and running the aisles and saying, "I got delivered." Let me tell you tonight, deliverance is a choice. Deliverance is something that we consciously decide to do. We decide, even though I've had problems in my life, I'm not going to have those kind of problems anymore. What am I saying tonight? That God, Jesus Christ, He has a mission to destroy the works of the devil. But in order for Him to destroy His works, we've got to expose it. We've got to say, "God, I need help in this area. I need your strength in this area. I need your power in this area. I need deliverance in this area. I'm tired of living this way." Amen. Thus, John is indicating that it is possible for believers to do that which is of the devil. It is for this purpose that the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Totally do away with any attempt and goal that Satan had in mind to wreck the lives of his people. He said, I am going to destroy it. If it takes me all the way to the cross, if I have to go to hell and back and steal the keys from him, I have come for one purpose in mind, and that is the salvation, and that is the safety of mankind. Come on, somebody. Do you want just another revival? Do you want just another time where we come and we get on a high, but then when the revival is over, we get back in the same rut? Or do you want Jesus to fulfill his mission in your life of what he's been trying to accomplish for all of our lives? We need that kind of a revival, that God gets up in our grill. He gets up in areas of our lives that are uncomfortable. He gets into our closets where all the skeletons are, and he says, come on, I've come to destroy that. You're my child. It's not my will for you to live in that kind of situation or sin. So Satan has designed and endeavored to ruin the work of God in this world. Jesus Christ has undertaken the holy war against him. He came into our world and was manifested himself in flesh that he might conquer and dissolve all of his works. Sin will he loosen and dissolve more and more until he has quite destroyed it. The question remains, why do people insist on serving and indulging in what God came to destroy? But yet they say they're full of the Holy Ghost. But yet they say they're in the church. But yet they say they pay their tithes. But there's things going on in their life. The truth of the matter is, as blunt as it may sound, if we are serving sin, we are not of God. We are of the devil. That's as plain as it gets. It's not something that somebody shouts about or runs the aisles on, but the truth of the matter is, we've got to determine and we have to establish on the first night of this revival, before we can have miracles, before we can have signs and wonders, before people can be filled with the Holy Ghost, whose side are we on? What side are we on? Are we on his side, or are we on the enemy's side? Come on, it's God's mission that we would be on his side, and he wants to destroy every work of the enemy in our lives. So as we look at the connection between regeneration and the relinquishment of sin, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Period. If we have the Holy Ghost, we have no business having bitterness in our heart. If we have the Holy Ghost, we have no business hanging on to an unforgiving spirit. If we have the Holy Ghost, we have no business being jealous of somebody else in the church because they're used more than we are. If we have the Holy Ghost, we have no business clicking on the internet, on sites, that we would be embarrassed if the pastor would walk in. If we truly have the Holy Ghost, we have no business having judgmental attitudes and gossiping and backbiting and slandering with our tongue. Oh, I'm preaching right now. I feel an old-fashioned anointing upon me. Whose side are we on? Who do we belong to? We are either owned by Jesus or we're owned by the enemy. We've got to get real about our lives. The truth of the matter is, if we are truly born of the Spirit and we claim to be a child of God, there is no room for a lying spirit. There is no room for a spirit that sows discord. Oh, Brother Calk, I thought we were having revival. I thought that this was going to be the kind of meeting like the book of Acts and things of that nature. But the truth of the matter is, a lot of times as apostolics, we want to see what's going on the exterior of things. But we don't want to look deep down into our heart and say, oh God, have mercy on me, a sinner. He cut to Rabahasha. Oh, come on, somebody. Do you want God to do a work in your life? You've got to get honest about yourself. You've got to get honest about who you are and what you are and what's going on. It came over me and it hit me like a bolt of lightning. Last night in prayer, I have come to destroy the works of the devil. The works of the devil, when people talk about them and we refer to them, our minds automatically go to Ouija boards, and they go to witchcraft, and they go to people having incantations or gathering at some camp somewhere and worshiping Satan. Or a variety and a myriad of other things. But the work of the enemy, most of it consists of what we give into, what we entertain, what our minds would allow. Oh my God, witches. Oh my God, demons. No, it's not witches and it's not demons. It's us. It's me. It's you. We all have problems. We all have demons that we struggle with and we fight. Oh, but I would to God that something would break in this revival and we would truly say that something happened deep down on the inside of me and it changed me. It changed the way I walk. It changed the way I talk. It changed the way I look. Come on, he's come to destroy anything and everything that even resembles. It comes close to what the enemy is and what he wants to do in our lives. Understand, new convert comes in, they receive the Holy Ghost, but yet they're babies. And there's things that they don't quite understand. And then there's that maturity process. And God deals with them. He begins to convict them. He begins to work on their heart. But the truth of the matter is, we have that there are vices that we in the church hold on to, who have been in the church for many years. We've had the Holy Ghost for years. Some of us sing in the choir. Some of us are in the pew. Some of us are ushers and Sunday school teachers. But yet, we allow the work and the influence of the enemy to control and dictate to us everything that we can do and we cannot do. Who do we belong to tonight? When I read the title tonight, some of our minds automatically went to the idea, oh yes, God has a mission for this revival. Praise the name of the Lord. Glory be to God. He's got quite a mission in mind. But the truth of the matter is, He has a mission in mind tonight. He has a mission in us as individuals that He wants to do in our lives. He's come to destroy. He's come to dismantle everything that is not of Him. He wants to destroy any spirit of disunity that would be among us. Any spirit of discord. Any spirit of competition. And things of that nature. But we've got to get honest with the Lord about ourselves. We've got to get honest with the Lord about what's going on in our closet. We've got to get real as the people of God. And when we finally get real, that's when God will unblock everything that He's trying to pull through, so that He can move, so that He can manifest His glory and His power and His anointing and His lordship and His kingship in our lives. And so, therefore, it is established, whosoever abideth in Him sinneth not. Sinneth not. He told Mary Magdalene, go and sin no more. But a lot of people look at that and they automatically they rush to the assumption and the conclusion, well, He's a God of grace. He's a God of compassion. And all of these other things don't really matter in my life. I can live the way I want to live, walk the way I want to walk. He forgave her, but He also gave her a command. Go and sin no more. But yet some people, they say, well, I thank God for my liberty. I'm living in liberty because I don't have to do all those things. I don't have to live by certain things. He loves me unconditionally, so I can live the way that I want to live. But the truth of the matter is, when the Holy Ghost gets within us, there comes a point and there comes a time that God baptizes us with a hatred for sin, where we abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. Oh, come on, somebody. Do you want just another revival, or do you want God to destroy the things in your life that are not of Him? So we go on in our understanding of our relationship between the sinner and the devil, and thereupon from the original design and office of Jesus Christ against the devil. Sinners and saints are also distinguished. So to commit sin here is to practice it. To live under its power and its influence and dominion of it. An individual that comes to church, they have a Mount Sinai kind of experience. They wake up on Monday morning and they go to work, and then they listen to their worldly music, and then they give in and they cave in under the pressure of all of the vulgarity and the profanity. But it's okay, I can repent again when Wednesday comes around. They come back to church. It becomes a pattern in their life. They repent. They get things right. I know I've worked out in that world. Haven't worked in it very long, but I have an idea of what's going on. Right. Truth of the matter is, You get so much junk and you get so much filth thrown in your face. And I speak in the Holy Ghost right now. There is an individual in this place. You think you're living a victorious life, but you are deceiving yourself. You're deceiving yourself. Because the truth of the matter is, you're sheltered. You're sequestered in a world where basically you don't have a lot of spiritual warfare going on. But you hear this preacher tonight. There's coming a point, and I speak with the prophetic anointing on my life right now. There's going to come a point and time in your life that you're going to be thrusted headlong into a situation where you're going to have all of these exposures and vices and influences in your life. And it is at that point and at that time that it will be determined who you are, what you're made of, and what kind of an anointing and victory you have in your life. I know what it is to be around people that curse, but not to give in and curse myself. I know what it's like to work on a job where there's vulgarity, where there's profanity, where there's cigarette smoke blowing in my face. I know what it's like at the feeling that pressure from the spirit world and it taking everything within you not to give in, not to laugh at their dirty jokes, not to give in to their way of living, and not to actually to say and to practice some of the things that they are doing. And it takes somebody that has backbone. It takes somebody that determines with all their heart, I'm a child of God. I'm not going there. I'm not doing that. I am not my own, but I have been brought with the price. And that's God's ultimate mission, that I would become like Him. And that we would become like Him in everything that we do, in everything that we say. And I believe with all of my heart, I have felt all week in prayer and fasting that we're going to have miracles. People are going to get the Holy Ghost. We're going to see deliverances. This is going to be a monumental meeting that we are going to look back on and say, God did something in my life on such and such date. He changed me. I believe that there's going to be some people that are going to emerge from this meeting with a deeper and more intense walk with God than you've ever had before. There are going to be people that are going to emerge from this place. Young people, you're going to answer a call that God has placed upon your life. But there comes a time and there comes a point that we've got to allow Jesus to destroy anything and everything in our lives that is not of Him. But who, pray tell, in this meeting has the guts and has the gumption to come down to this altar on the very first night and say, God, I've tried everything to shake this serpent in my life, to shake this vice, to diffuse and shut the mouth of this demon. I give it to you. I need your help. I'm going to just tell you how I operate. This is how Chris Kalk operates. I know other ministers operate different, and that's fine. But the truth of the matter is, I'm not going to call you out in this revival. If you're worried that I'm going to call you out and embarrass you, that's not going to happen. Because number one, God has already got your number. And He's got mine. He already knows where you're at. He already knows what's going on. Now, I've seen people get called out. And the first thing that comes to people's mind, oh my God, the evangelist is coming to town. What is he going to do? And people get on pins and needles, and they get all nervous, and they're like, and they take about 50 Advil before they come to church and everything else, and they're just on the edge of their seat. What is this guy going to do? That's exactly what's going through your minds right now. You're thinking, what is this guy going to do? I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to reach for your soul if it means every breath in my body in this revival. What is this guy going to do? He's going to preach the word. What is this guy going to do? He's going to pray in the altar. What is this guy going to do? He's going to encourage. What is this guy going to do? He's going to try to pray somebody through to the Holy Ghost. You need to get your eyes off of man, and you need to get them on the Christ. You need to get them on Jesus. He is the only one that can take care of every problem in your life. And I'm going to tell you right now, without hesitation, the devil is mad. He's mad. He doesn't want us touching this tonight, elder. He doesn't want us messing with this tonight. And I believe that he uses that on the ministry. I believe he talks to the clergy, the pastors, the evangelists, the prophets, before they get behind the desk. And we start thinking, well, you know, I think this particular message will fit this church. And I think this message over here will fit that church. Oh, yes, that faith message, and you'll probably hear some of it before the week is up. That deliverance message, caulk, it's not really for that church. It's for this church. But then deep down inside, God keeps turning your gut and making you feel uncomfortable. And you feel that fear, and you feel that apprehension, because you're hesitant to step into some of those areas. The truth of the matter is that there's not a preacher alive that can get up and preach on sin and honestly say that they enjoy it. But the truth of the matter is, the Word of God is pure. The Word of God will judge us. When Jesus Christ is on a mission, sometimes He gets into areas that we don't want Him to get into. Sometimes He gets personal about our lives. And He's saying, I want you to draw close to me, but you've got to allow me to destroy some of the works in your life that are hindering you and that are hindering us as a church from reaching that level where we can have the power and the true manifest glory of God in our lives. I feel Him right now. He's moving in this place right now. Oh, we don't have to wait till tomorrow night. We're going to see some of what God has shown us tonight. I know the gifts are getting ready to operate, but I want to speak something right now. The enemy has been working overtime in this church. He's been coming against the man of God. He's been coming against the leadership. He's been coming against young people. He's been coming against middle age, the elders, because he knows that his time is short. I've got a lot more to say, but God doesn't want me to right now. We'll get to it tomorrow night. But the truth of the matter is, He's doing that because He knows what God is about to do in your lives. I've been in this thing for a long time. I have sat through revival meetings where people were delivered from drugs. They were delivered from immoral things. And then they went home. They would tear some of their posters off of the wall. They would burn some of their curious arts. Back in the 80s, it was those big records. They would break some of their records and crush some of their CDs. Just let the Holy Ghost talk to you. Because the truth of the matter is, God got a hold of them. And all of a sudden, those desires were taken away. He spoke to me very clearly right last night, just as plain as I'm standing before you right now. And He basically told me that He wants to deliver some people tonight of some of their desires that are not of Him. If you will give those desires to God once and for all, there is going to be instantaneous deliverance tonight. Now let's wait on the Lord. He's here right now and He wants to speak. I feel like God wants to take us another step. That was a word straight from God, but He has some more for us right now. If someone will be sensitive. Let's stand to our feet right now. the word has been preached and the word of God has gone forth, you know who you are and you know what you have to do. This is your moment. This is your opportunity right now. This altar is open. I'm opening it up for in general for us to come as a church. I'm giving a general altar call right now. And if you're here, don't wait till tomorrow night. Make your move right now. God wants to deliver some people emotionally, spiritually, mentally, financially. If somebody will repent before God right now, you are fixing to feel His power in an unprecedented way, like you have never felt it before. If you will just be honest, repent before Him. Shatabahi koromoho sheke daramahas. God is moving in a very powerful way right now. But there's also a spirit of resistance. Somebody needs to quit fighting within yourself. You need to stop reasoning. You need to stop rationalizing. And you need to let go. You need to let it go once and for all. When you begin to let go, there God's fixing a breakthrough in your life. The breakthrough that we have been waiting for, it is here tonight. God is ready to manifest Himself tonight with miracles, with healing, with power, with anointing. Somebody just needs to turn loose and let go right now. In the name of Jesus. He's come to destroy the works of the devil. He's come to destroy some of the things that have messed us up emotionally and physically and spiritually. There's principalities and powers that have been hovering over this city for decades that are getting to break, right, ready to break in the name of Jesus. Come on! Answer the call right now. Answer the clarion call that God has placed upon you. He shut up. He He's ready to do it right now. He's ready to do it right now. Come on, young people. He's ready to do it right now.